In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's Mass is being offered for those most lost souls. The lesson from today comes from the book of the prophet Isaiah. In those days, Ezekiah was mortally ill, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, put your house in order, for you are about to die. You shall not recover." Then Ezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, "Lord, remember how faithfully and wholeheartedly I conducted myself in your presence, doing what was pleasing to you." And Ezekiah wept bitterly. Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, saying, "Go, tell Ezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of your father David, I have heard your prayer, and I have seen your tears, and I will add 15 years to your life. I will rescue you and the city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will be a shield to this city, says the Lord God Almighty." This concludes the lesson from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Please stand for the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. At that time, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, there came to him a centurion who entreated him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying sick in the house, paralyzed, and is grievously afflicted." Jesus said unto him, "I will come and cure him." But in answer, the centurion said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. But only say the word, and my servant will be healed, for I too am a man subject to authority. I have soldiers subject to me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." And when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following him, "Amen, I say unto you, I have not found such great faith in all of Israel. And I tell you that many will come from the east and the west, and will feast with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom will be put forth into the darkness outside. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way. As you have believed, so it will be done to you." And the servant was healed in that very hour. This concludes the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. You may be seated. Today on this day right after the Day of Ashes, we have this opportunity both to reflect on what it costs to carry the cross that we are taking up within our lives, and particularly during the season of Lent, and as well on a particular Saint Catherine Drexel. Saint Catherine Drexel, who is a great teaching sister here in the United States, one of the first American saints. Let me share with you something first on St. Catherine Drexel. I'm not going to give you her whole story. I want to be brief today. But St. Catherine Drexel was a woman who was born to great wealth, incredibly great wealth. She had, I believe it was three sisters, if not four. And when her father died, having such a devout upbringing, he left all of his possessions, all of his finances, to his daughters. And his daughters would each then receive what, I can't remember what the amount was in their time, but it was the equivalent of $400 million each. Incredible, right? Incredible, $400 million each. And just from leaving it in the place where it was invested, she would receive $25,000 today's money, $25,000 today's money every day in interest. That's incredible, isn't it? What do you do with such a large sum of money? What is to go on with that? Obviously, she being left and not having a husband, obviously there were a lot of suitors who wanted to suit her in order to gain access to such a great fortune. She didn't know what to do with her life. And so when she was trying to decide what to do, she went to her spiritual director and she said, "Look, I don't want to have a husband. I don't want to have anything in this world. I just want to be with God. That's it. I would like to be a religious sister of some kind." Her spiritual director said, "That's a good and pious thought, but make sure you give that some good thought to what it is that is going on within your life." Looking back on her life as she was growing up, St. Catherine Drexel lived a devout upbringing with a very devout father who would spend 30 minutes a day in the evening after he finished with his daily tasks of work, would there within the home give himself to 30 minutes of just mental prayer, of just silence before God there after doing a little bit of scriptural reading. A good example for that. Her mother would be a great generous soul, and her stepmother there afterwards, after her early death, also the same thing. And what they would seek to do would be to invite, her stepmother did, each and every day, those who were poor, those who were in need at that time, into her own home, seeking their needs, helping them out with rental assistance when they needed, and distributing food from her very own home. So this is the home in which Catherine grew up. One of the sayings that that she did eventually, I should say, that she eventually was trying to figure out what she should do with her life. She wanted to take care of the poor, particularly in this Reconstruction era after the conclusion of the Civil War, wanted to find a way to help out those who were underprivileged, particularly the blacks who were down in the South who were underprivileged in that way, and the Native Americans in the West, which is our area. And when she was trying to figure out how to help them, she made a trip all the way to Rome and spoke to the Pope, I believe it was Leo XIII at the time, in pleading the cause of these who were poor, who were there, the blacks in the South, and those who were the Native Americans in the West, to find a way. She talked to him, you got to help them, Holy Father, you got to do something. And Pope Leo XIII said, Catherine, I think you have to do something with that. And so that was the impetus for her to go and to start under the auspices of one of the other great saints, Francis Cabrini, to be able to start a religious order and be able to do good things with the wealth that was given her there. And so she did. Here's something for you and I. When we think about giving gifts, alms, when we think about helping out those who are poor, Catherine Drexel's mother had a little phrase that would say to her, and I think I can remember it right now. What she would say to her was that kindness cannot be kindness something like that, it rhymed, I can't remember what it was, but kindness is not kindness if it wounds, in a sense, if it brings pain. Kindness is not kindness if it brings about pain. And what she was speaking of there was how she herself would seek to give everybody assistance, but there were some people who were too proud, even though they knew that they needed it, so they wouldn't come to receive. And so Catherine's mother would go out and send out her spies, as it were, to go out and to make sure that she'd find out those who were in need who were too proud to ask for it, and find roundabout ways of making sure that they would get the assistance they need in a way that they wouldn't be from her hand, so that they wouldn't be too proud to receive it and still be cared for. And so that's something for you and I to think about. When we give alms, when we give in some sort of way, that there are some people within our community, some people that we'll meet who are too proud in maybe a good way, maybe in a not so good way, to receive some sort of assistance. And when we do so, to try to find some way in which it can be placed into their hands, can be given them the things that they need, such that it would not reduce them to the sense of feeling like they're less than, or like they're somebody who has to be taken care of in this way, but rather to be able to uphold their dignity at the same time. So try to remember it if I can come across the phrase again, but it rhymes. It says, kindness is not kindness if it hurts or if it can bring about pain in that way. Now today, just a little word on today, the Lord calls us to carry his cross. And I just want to give you a little meditation from a Carthusian monk, Dom Augustin Gillerand. He's a Carthusian monk. And this is what he writes about taking up our cross. It won't give any commentary on it, but just to listen to what he has to say for you and I as we begin this Lenten season, one day after entering into it, about carrying the cross of Lent. This is what he says. He says that our Lord Jesus Christ, he carried his cross, and so we too must carry our own cross. And that is, the tiny daily crosses that we receive are proportioned to our weakness. That is how we prove our love for Christ and his cross, by uniting our little crosses to his. And it is this that gives our crosses the merit of his own cross, when we unite our crosses to his cross. So in order to bear our crosses, we must always have the recourse to the thought that this is how God wants things for us. And so we must say to ourselves, I have him who is my all, and that is enough for me. I must be indifferent to and independent of everything else but what God wants for me. We must never say that this kind of sanctity, of this kind of forgetfulness of self, that this love of the cross, that this self-immolation and self-sacrifice and so on, that they are not for us. That is our human way of looking at things. Rather, what we should say is that if God wants them for us, then he will send us the necessary graces to accomplish it. All we must do is hold ourselves in the readiness for anything that he may ask us to do, and then go ahead fearlessly. This is what is demanded us in this Lenten season, to do just the same, to embrace the very things that God gives us in the little crosses, uniting them to his. And that is the way forward in the season of the 40 days. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.